If you went on a road trip and you didn't stop for a Big Mac or drop a crispy fry between the car seats or use your McDonald's bag as a placemat, then that wasn't a road trip. It was just a really long drive. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
At participating McDonald's.
Hey everybody, this is Adam Hunter. Welcome to an MMA Roasted podcast on Fox Sports. I'm thrilled to be with Fox Sports. Thank you, Fox Sports, for having me on. We have a great, great lineup today. We got Tim Kennedy calling in, Danny Castillo, Jake Shields, Phil Baroni, and Cody Bollinger. It's stacked. We got great fighters. It's going to be a great time. I just got back from Minnesota. I was headlining the House of Comedy out there. Amazing trip. I literally got off the plane 4 hours ago, went to go coach my wrestling team for little kids, and now I'm here because I love being here. And my team's looking good, by the way. We have a really good 78-pounder. He's a beast. The kid's, he wants to play games all the time, but when he's focused, he's good. He's good. A lot to talk to. First of all, over the weekend at the Mr. Olympia Expo, Vanderlei and Chael got into a fight. And I thought it was a joke. I thought this was one of those things where people are like, oh, yeah. No, I actually saw the video. If you haven't seen it, go on YouTube. I'm sure you can see it. Basically, Chael's in a booth. I don't know if it's the TRT booth or what the booth is, but Chael's in a booth, just hanging out, and Vanderlei has got a whole camera crew behind him, and he comes up to him, and they just start screaming at each other, and then Chael's like, you need to know, and Vanderlei's like, no, you need to know, and they start screaming, and it sort of seems a little set up, like WWE. However, Vanderlei then writes, I saw fear in your eye. Yeah, of course. Who wouldn't be scared if Vanderlei Silva, I don't care who you are. Vanderlei Silva is one of the scariest men I've ever seen in my, it's like, he's like Bizarro Mr. Potato Head. He's huge, jacked up, real nice guy. I met him a couple times. I couldn't be a nicer guy, but he's one of those dudes that the funniest thing about Vanderlei is that I was teaching him his lines for the MMA awards, and he was struggling a little bit, and his girlfriend, or his wife was getting mad at him for his English, and then he actually looked scared about it. You see a huge guy and this little petite woman is scolding him on his English, and that was actually very entertaining to watch. But that was a crazy, crazy thing. But then afterwards, Vanderlei is like, I'm a professional. I don't fight in the street. And I'm like, yeah, but you just challenged him to fight in a booth. And Chael asked to fight Vanderlei, and Vanderlei won a pay-per-view point. So I don't know what's going on there. I think they should coach the next Ultimate Fighter. That's my suggestion. People were talking about that on the Underground, and I think it's a great idea. I mean, come on, who wouldn't see that? I mean, who wouldn't watch that? Personally, if you had to ask me who wins this fight, I think Chael wins the MMA fight. I think Chael is not the kind of guy to stand and trade with Vanderlei Silva. I think he's too smart for that. I think he's, that's one of the ways you lose to him. I mean, Brian Stann, I love Brian Stann, nicest guy ever. You know, he'd sit there and you just trade punches with Vanderlei Silva, something bad is going to happen to you. But with as far as Chael, I see him grinding out kind of a wrestling, boring decision and being smart about it. You know, however, in a street fight, I take Vanderlei Silva all day. I know Chael's from the mean streets of West Lynn, and there were a lot of fights along the, growing up, but I take Vanderlei in a street fight any day of the week. I don't think Chael actually said he never got into a street fight. So, but Vanderlei Silva probably has been in some wars. That was crazy. That was a crazy thing. Very entertaining, though. Update from last week. It turns out, so as I was talking about, Tito, Ken Shamrock, Frank Shamrock, Rampage, they were all going to crash UFC 168. And then Dana White said, tell the Super Friends, which is pretty funny that he called them the Super Friends. It was actually a perfect analogy for what those guys are. And then he said, you know, F you, Ken Shamrock, you owe me $175,000, which I don't know. I guess Ken Shamrock sued the UFC and lost, and now he has to pay for the lawyers. So that's not going to happen, I don't think. I don't think they're all going to show up, which is pretty... I was looking forward to that. That would have been a very funny storyline to go on. But it's kind of a shame, though, because, you know, Ken Shamrock, Frank Shamrock, those guys are legends. You know, Tito's a legend, Rampage is a legend. You kind of wish everyone could just get along. I don't know whose fault it is. I guess there's probably a lot of different stories. I'd like to get them all on the podcast. You get Dana, Ken, Frank, Rampage, and Tito. We'll all sit here and have a podcast. I think it'll be an epic podcast. So if you guys are listening, Ken Shamrock is now on Twitter. He just joined Twitter last week, and he's been on fire with it. He's been tweeting left and right. It just shows he's kind of late in the game, but just be joining Twitter now. He's not even verified yet, but it is him. And who knows? Speaking of Twitter, my first guest, we got a great podcast, by the way. We have Tim Kennedy is coming on. We have Danny Castillo, who's got a big fight coming up. He's coming on. Jake Shields is fighting Damian Maia. Cody Ballinger on The Ultimate Fighter, who was the number one pick for Miesha Tate. And the New York badass, the best ever, Phil Baroni. It's a stacked podcast, people. Stacked. This is one of my, I don't even know if we have enough time to get to everybody, but we will. We're going to make it happen because that's how I roll, okay? That's how I roll, and I'm excited. So Tim Kennedy is probably the funniest guy on Twitter I've ever seen in my life. I mean, he is hilarious. So I guess he had a fight against, he was supposed to fight Machida, and then Machida, Michael Bisping hurt his eye, so now Machida is fighting Mark Munoz, which is going to be a tough fight because Machida's he's tough for anybody to fight. He's very awkward. It's hard to get a guy who has Machida's style to train with. It's easier to get a Mark Munoz guy. He's a guy who comes straight forward, ground and pound. You know what he's going to do. He's going to try to take you down and donkey punch you, or Donkey Kong punch you, not donkey punch you, but he's just going to take you down. By the way, he said he wanted to hit Bisbing in the ass on the podcast, and Bisbing wrote, "Hey man, I'm taken," which is pretty funny, on Twitter. So you know what Mark Munoz is going to do. You know, he's a national champion wrestler. Machida's one of those guys that does this weird hybrid karate, jiu-jitsu, wrestling thing that's very hard to get to have a guy to emulate that in practice. I mean, has anybody ever really dominated Machida except for Shogun? If you look at like Phil Davis, very close fight against Machida. Henderson, tough guy against Machida. Machida beat Rashad Evans. Even John Jones, before the Gustafson fight, you could argue that Machida was one of his toughest fights, tougher fights. So it's going to be a tough fight. So now Tim Kennedy, who in the past has complained about pay for fighters. Tim Kennedy's is the real deal. The guy's he was a sniper in the Army. He's a special forces guy. He's been fighting for a very long time. He's fighting some of the best guys. He has he's lost to Jacare and to Luke Rockhold. Very tough guys. He's beaten very tough guys. So he starts writing on Twitter, and I'm just going to read you some of his tweets because I actually wrote them down because I didn't want to butcher them. He said, "Hey Overeem. You versus me, catch weight, at UFC, fight for the troops. Winner gets a lifetime supply of horse meat." Funny, right? First of all, Overeem is like heavyweight. I don't understand how. And then he goes, "Hey, Shogun, dresses like a Brooklyn pimp, not the classy kind." I guess there's lots of classy Brooklyn pimps. "I should give him a lesson in style and fighting. Hey, Rich Franklin, a.k.a. American Fighter, I want your nickname. It's cool and clever. I'll fight you for it. A.k.a. Tim, future American Fighter. Hey, Shogun, Australia's a long flight. How about you and me in Kentucky, and we go at 195 pounds? You don't need training camp since you don't train." And then my favorite, "Hey, Nick Diaz, I stole your pot and bicycle. If you want them back, you have to come out of retirement and fight me." I mean, this guy is hysterical. If he was half as exciting as he is in fighting than on Twitter, he'd be the main event every card. So we're going to call Tim. We're going to call Tim right now. I don't know if he's having a meltdown or a breakdown, or if he's now the new comedy writer for Conan, but we're gonna talk to him and see what he has to say.
Hello.
Hello, is this Tim Kennedy?
This is he.
Hey, how's it going? It's Adam Hunter on the MMA Roasted Podcast.
It is going well. Hello, Adam.
How's everything going, brother?
That's pretty good. I just had to kill another unicorn a few minutes ago, but besides that, things are pretty groovy.
Now you are, you're killing unicorns because no one wants to fight you, correct?
Yeah, it was an ultimatum to the UFC, the American government doesn't really negotiate with terrorists, but I was hoping that the UFC would, but that doesn't seem to be the case, so I have to resort to even dirtier tactics next. I'm not sure what those are going
to
be.
Are you giving the horse to Overeem to eat after you kill the unicorn?
Well, no, the deal with Overeem was, like, whoever won got a lifetime supply of horse meat. So I think I could take Overeem, first of all, so I would be the one with a lifetime supply of horse meat. And he would starve to death and then probably pass every drug test from there on forward because he wouldn't have any drug meat, horse meat, obviously.
Now, you said you want to fight Overeem, but Overeem, he guy weighs about 230, 240. What weight would you fight him at?
Oh, man, he's a heavyweight? Oh, I forgot about that. We'll do a catch weight of 199.
199. Now, Tim, are you going insane, or is everything all right? What is going on here, man?
I am about as stable as Syria is politically. So, I might cause a nuclear explosion, use chemical weapons, or start killing my own citizens. Yeah, I think I'm pretty similar. If the parallels of stability between Syria and myself are very, 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 very close.
Sounds like it, man. So some of the guys that you've called out recently, in the past day, actually, it was your anniversary, right, with your wife? And
it was. Yep, 7 years. Big, 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 big day for us, yep.
Congratulations. But now you spent all day on Twitter, though, instead of spending it with her, calling out the entire middleweight division.
Oh, I actually dedicated, that's not entirely true, Adam. I had a 3-minute break between calling out Silipu and Kung Lee. So there obviously is a little bit of time there to celebrate one's anniversary. And then I went back to work.
That's good. Now, you called out Kung Lee. You said he was a bad driver.
He's a bad driver. I know this for a fact.
Is that because he's Asian, or?
Oh, you are a racist.
Then how do you know for a fact he's a bad driver?
Well, he's from San Jose. I mean, that in itself is proof. You know, anybody from Northern California is a bad. Is vast majority of them are very horrible drivers.
That's true.
Two, he's an MMA fighter and an actor. I mean, those three things alone pretty much ensure that there's no chance of him being a safe person behind the wheel. And you can talk to Dave Camarillo or any of the guys at AKA, they'll attest to it that he is not, should not have a license. Now, I'm not saying that that's compounded by his ethnicity. If he was a woman as well, that could be the five moons finally aligning to just create the apocalypse of anything on the road. But
gotcha.
Have a driver's license.
Gotcha. So Kung Lee said he was coaching the Ultimate Fighter in China. He couldn't fight you. Then you called out.
That's a bad excuse.
Yeah. Then you called out Shogun. Said he doesn't train anyway.
Yeah, he doesn't.
And then you said you stole Nick Diaz's weed.
Yeah. 4 kilos of it. I don't know how much that's worth. I don't smoke pot, but I think that's a lot of weed. And I was impressed that he kept his two prime possessions, his bicycle and 4 kilos of weed, like next to each other. Golly, this guy's gutsy.
And then also Vanderlei, you called out, saying that his secret agents poisoned his food and that you have the antidote.
Yeah, there's a chance that his intestines at this moment are rotting from the inside. And he didn't pay any heed to my warning. So when he starts pissing and pooping blood, he'll reconsider my offer, I think.
Now, Tim, your tweets are amazing. I think that they're actually like your fights are entertaining, your tweets are amazing.
I'd like to take that and flip those. how do I change that?
I don't know. You're a tough, tough guy. You actually last beat a Gracie and you beat him on the ground pretty much, which was pretty impressive. He had you in a submission and couldn't submit you. How are you able to achieve that?
Well, first, it's a really bad idea. In no part of my game planning was I just like, let's put Hodger Gracie on my back. In the first round, in like a minute into the first round, and see how things go. That was not part of my plan. So that was less than stellar, I think, on my part, being like, hey, Hodger, hop on my back and see if you can choke me. This would be a great fight. No, yeah. See, you started off this backhanded compliment with, you're really tough. I don't want to be a tough fighter. That's not a nice thing to say to a fighter. I think tough fighters have short careers.
Right.
So you're a jerk, first of all. Thank you for calling me tough.
And, I take it back. You're not tough.
I'd rather be like Pettis. You know, nobody says Pettis is really tough. They're like, God, that guy's so amazing. You know, he does these crazy, fantastic things. You know, they don't say it. They're like, God, Tim is so tough. thanks, asshole. But, and kind of pain, you know, giving you a little credit to what you said is I'm dumb as well. So I'm tough and dumb because I want to beat guys at what they're good at. I was like, oh, man, Hodja Gracie, he is the greatest grappler on the planet right now. You know, he has more world championships than anybody. So let's go ahead and grapple with him. That's a great idea. And that's what I did.
Yeah, no, but it was impressive. I mean, honestly, I thought, I hate to say it, but when he had your back, I believe, I was like, it's over. I thought he was, but you managed to get out of it, and I was, my hats off, very, very impressive.
Well, I used a lot of Vaseline around my midsection before the fight.
Now, you were a wrestler in high school, was that correct?
Not a very good one. I went to a private school and I was homeschooled, so I had to do club wrestling. So, and I don't know if it's this way everywhere else, but like the club wrestlers were kind of like these rich kids that weren't very good. But all of them were better than me, so I think that puts me in the horrible wrestler category. I wouldn't even say I wrestled in high school because that would not give credit to college or high school wrestlers.
Right, but then after you went to college, and then after you joined the army, right? Then you learned how to basically fight in the army, or did you fight before the army?
No, I had like three or four pro fights before the army. I had actually fought Jason Mayhem Miller and Cruz Cone, and I'd fought in the WEC all before I had enlisted in the army. So I think I had four pro fights before I went into the army. And then in the Army, I fought, like, I think four or five pro times, and then whatever, 10 or 15 times for the Army in their Army Combatives Tournament.
Yeah, and I saw that. Now, how's the training as far as MMA in the military?
Well, it depends on what kind of unit you're in. If you're in a combat arms, you know, like infantry or special forces or ranger, obviously it's kind of important for you to be able to be a good fighter. So they put a little bit more effort into making you be kind of a badass. But if you're a cook or a pilot, you know, or a logistics officer, or pretty much anywhere in the Navy, you don't have to be a tough guy. You don't have to be a good fighter. You can just, or the Coast Guard. Yeah, you can suck in the Coast Guard. The Air Force, too. They don't have any tough guys there.
So you're saying the Army All right. guys are tougher than Navy guys and Coast Guard guys?
Without a doubt. I think the Marines are pretty tough. I'd give them like every time you're around a Marine, you're like, golly, you're kind of crazy and tough. So,
but right.
You don't say that around Air Force guys. You just say, golly, you have a really great room. How do you get such a nice chow hall? Is this the officer's chow hall? Am I allowed to eat in here? Do I have to leave? No, I can stay. Weird. This is weird. I've never been to a place this nice.
Right.
That's usually what you hear Army guys when they're around Air Force guys saying.
But your first fight ever was against Scott Smith, who was like, you know, and you lost your first fight. Were you thinking about just like calling it a career then, or did you know, all right, you know what?
Those were the dark days of MMA. You know, I had like probably 20 or 30 fights before that first sanctioned bout, you know, whether I was in Tijuana or down at the Cobra Casino in Temecula, or I was up in some stupid Indian reservation where we didn't even have to wear gloves. You know, or I was like St. Augustine Island, Florida, where you're allowed to headbutt and stomp heads. Good days. Those were good days. I had actually fought Scott Smith like 3 weeks before we fought again in that IFC fight. And the fight that I fought him in, it was a Pancrase, California Pancrase Championship. And I beat him. And I was like, yeah, cool. And they're like, hey, you want to fight this guy in the International Fighting Championship? I was like, dude, I just fought that guy. Yeah, for sure, I'll fight him. It was not Pancrase, and he smashed my face open. So I was like, gosh darn it, I should probably take fighting a little bit more seriously.
Yeah, I could see why you would do that. But you also, I mean, the fights that you've recently lost, which have not been which have not been many, but the ones you have lost to Jacare and Luke Rockhold, those are very close fights, and you could argue that you won those fights. Do you want a rematch with those guys?
I think Luke, he was the champ. He was the champ at the time, and I think he deserved. I did not do enough to beat him, even though I agree that it was a close fight. You know, he was. If I were judging that fight, I would say that Luke had won that fight if I was the ringside judge. The Jacare fight was really close. Neither of us were champs, and but it was one of those tough fights that it could go either way. Jacare is obviously making huge waves in the UFC, and I hope to have opportunities to keep kind of the same momentum going. I think Luke and Jacare and myself are going to continue to make big waves in the UFC. You know, I need Luke to get healthy, bounce back from that loss to Fedor, but keep demonstrating that we're right up there, with the top five in the world type thing.
Now, what do you think of the whole TRT issue?
What I think about it? It's horseshit. Am I allowed to say that on podcast?
Yeah, of course. Of course.
Okay, yeah. Then I second my last statement that it is complete horseshit. That is straight up cheating. That is performance enhancing drug. I cannot wait to be not a professional athlete here in the United States because I'm going to use TRT and become ridiculous at everything that I do. But right now I am a mixed martial artist and I'm a professional athlete. So I'm not going to do that because that's immoral, it's unethical, and it's cheating. So all those guys that are like dripping like horse blood out of their veins and they're injecting TRT into their eyeballs, that's the name of names.
You can name names.
I can't name names. I was told not to name names. I can't name names.
You're told by who?
There's a guy down in Brazil that hasn't fought in the United States in like 5 years. And he only fights not in the United States. And is known for using testosterone. That's horribly wrong. I actually think there's a whole bunch of guys that do that. But he's really the pinnacle of the example. He's the personification of everything that's wrong with TRT. There's guys like slithering between the rules and doing what's convenient for them and embarrassing to the sport.
So did you ever call out Vitor?
Yeah, I did. We were supposed to fight, remember?
Yeah.
You remember that? And I was like, hell yeah, I'll fight that guy. I fight, and then they said I was going to fight him. Joe Solis says, hey, do you want to fight Vitor Belfort? And I was like, yeah, that sounds awesome. Can we fight in Vegas? And he says, no, you have to fight in Brazil. I was like, dang it. All right, not a problem. So we're going to fight in Brazil, and I'm going to fight Vitor Belfort. I'm still in. Sounds great. Can we do, like, VABA testing? He doesn't want to do VABA testing. Oh, okay. So I'm going to fight Vitor Belfort. Cool. We're excited about that. I'm going to fight him in Brazil. Also, not thrilled about, but still, I've mentally crossed the bridge, and I want to blow up everything on the other side of the bridge to include him. So, cool. No VADA testing. That is also not the greatest circumstances for a fight to take place, but whatever. I'll still fight him. And then, the fourth element of that little negotiation was where he's like, oh, I don't want to fight him at middleweight. Let's fight at 200 pounds at a catch weight, maybe even 210. Like, what? And then Joe finally was like, all right, Tim, don't worry about it. We'll find you a different opponent. Things have gone into the realm of ridiculous.
Right.
Then to fight him.
Yeah, I mean, the fact
but
is...
At that point, I had said yes to every single one of their stupid stipulations, all of which favored, a fight for Vitor. I didn't care. I still wanted to fight him. So, but he's fighting Dan Henderson.
Yeah, I think the winner is for the TRT championship.
Where's he fighting Dan at? Where's that happening?
I think he's fighting in Brazil for the TRT championship.
Oh, in Brazil.
Now, I got to talk about your pictures. Now, the pictures that you put up, one, you're kind of dressed like Sting, the 80s wrestler, kind of. Well, you're like.
Well, Sting's a good looking guy.
Is that what you were going for?
Wait, did I have white face paint on?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Adam, you are very mixing up eras here. I was the Black Swan. I was clearly the Black Swan, and I was passionate about it. I had made the transition from the White Swan to the evil Black Swan, and I pretty much nailed it. Yep.
Yes. So then, and the other one, you sort of like a black swan, and then one you're like in a bathtub with a wig on. Whose wig is that? Why do you own that wig? There's anal beads around your neck or something.
You said whose is it, and then you said why do you own it? So now you're implying that I own it.
Okay.
Which, that is my wig, and I own it. And why do I own it? Is because I think Katy Perry is a beautiful woman, and I think that me as Katy Perry is a close second to an original Katy Perry.
Now, are those anal beads around your neck, or what exactly are those?
So curiously, to be even more offensive to all Catholic dogma, that is a Christian cross.
Oh, okay, all right. That is just... And then the other one, you're more like a, you're like a 1500s painter or something, or and when you're in the blue, what exactly? It's like you're Napoleon or something. What exactly are you in this picture? The one where you're like wearing all blue with the like a some kind of pastry chef hat or something, or what is going on?
Yeah, I'm a French poet that's a homosexual.
Okay, gotcha.
In that picture.
Now, did your wife take these pictures?
No. So the one in the bottom left-hand corner where I'm wearing like a combat vest, a hat, ranger panties, and no shirt, and combat boots.
Yes.
That is on the set of some TV show that I was competing in, a shooting Ultimate Soldier's Challenge.
Right.
And then there's actually videos that go along with the other three. The one where I'm a black swan. If you Google Tim Kennedy black swan, you can see the video. Mentally prepare yourself to be raped by Natalie Portman, except the Natalie Portman is me and not hot. And then the other one is me doing a parody of Katy Perry. She made a song about enlisting in the Marines, and she pretty much offended everybody that's ever enlisted because she's like, the only reason that you'd ever go into the military is because you got your heart broken and you had nothing better to do. So I couldn't resist getting mad at that and then making a video, which is my music video debut, which has won awards, Adam. If you Google that video, I'm not joking. It has won artistic awards for both creativity and original comedic content.
And creepiness. But yeah, yes.
Yeah.
I
without a doubt.
Well, Tim, we got to get the rest of the show, man. You are one of a kind, dude. You're hilarious. I think you should have your own podcast. You are a funny, funny dude. Is there anybody you want to call out before we leave?
Yeah, Tim Boach. You can Brock Lesnar. If you're listening, I will pay for the tattoo laser removal of that thing on your chest if you fight me, November 6th, and also. Kung Lee, I will take back the driving comments and take you to a driver safety course if you forego your TV show and come here and fight me November 6th with the troops. Rich Franklin, I know you're trying to get a business started, and I respect that. I will buy 1,000 fruity smoothies from your store if you fight me November 6th. Chris Camozzi, you still have horrible hair, and you should shoot your stylist. Ed Herman, you still have no soul. It's not necessarily representative of all redheads, but you, as a redhead, have no soul. And Vanderlei Silva, you don't have to stand a chance. I'm a better version of Chael Sonnen in every single way. I have better striking and jujitsu, and I have during your eyes. The only problem is I'm probably on less TRT than him. So, man, it's a tough fight, Vanderlei. Anyways, did I miss anybody?
Tim Sylvia agreed to fight you, by the way.
325 right now, so we could do a catch weight of like 285 maybe. I think you can make that. Maybe I'll talk to Joe. Let's see if they can make that happen.
Well, Tim Kennedy, thank you for your service. Thank you for everything you do. You are a hero, and good luck getting a fight, man.
Man, thank you so much for having me on, Adam. I appreciate it.
Oh, anytime.
Hello.
Hey, is this the New York Badass?
Yeah, what's up, man?
How's it going? Phil Baroni.
Good, man. Good. How you doing?
Good, man. I'm a huge fan. I used to watch you wrestle back in high school. I mean, not in a creepy way. Back when I went to Oceanside High School, I remember. I remember you, and you were the exact same. You were like this tan, jacked dude that was just throwing people around on like their heads. So, how's everything?
Funny,
how's your ankle going?
Oh, it's a little bit. It's going to be a little longer out than I thought, but, you know, what the gotta roll with it. But yeah, it sucks. But whatever.
So where are you training now?
I'm not really training, dude. I'm doing a little ankle exercise, bro. This shit sucks. I'm back in Vegas, man. I just moved back to Vegas, so I'm out here now.
Oh, cool. Because I actually last time I was in Vegas, I hung out with Josh Thompson. He came to my comedy show, and he told me you guys were roommates for a while.
Yeah, for about a year when I was in Pride, yeah, and right up to about when I fought Shamrock. Yeah, he's my buddy.
That must have been crazy.
Yeah, pretty crazy. Trevor Prank lived there too a little bit. It was pretty nuts.
Now I heard stories from Frank Trigg told me that you used to be out to the strip club till 5 o'clock in the morning, and then you'd come in at 7 to hit pads.
Yeah, to stay up all night. When I first moved out here, I found out about the after hours club, and I would actually go to bed early and then go to the after hour clubs, try and pick up scallywag chicks, fucked up chicks, and then usually I would, and even if I didn't, well, anyway, I'd go to train after that. So I started going to like Dre's and all these after hour clubs, like 4 or 5 in the morning. I had a weird schedule. I'd go to the club, try to pick up chicks, and after I was at the club, I'd roll with the train.
Now, how many chicks has the New York badass went through, you think?
Oh, I had a little run for a while, I had a run.
Are we talking thousands of women?
I don't know. No. Maybe. I don't know. 37. I don't know. Maybe not. I had girlfriends all the time too.
Yeah. Now and you're married now, right?
Yeah.
How's that going?
It's all right. Married, you know.
And then Mayhem once told me that he used to have to break up fights between you and Coleman at the gym in Orange County.
In Orange? No, in Vegas.
We never
trained in Orange County. Yeah, in Vegas. Yeah, he's crazy, man. Coleman out of his mind.
now, this is the segment. This is the segment called "That Story's Baroni," where I want to hear.
Right.
I want to hear one authentic story that Phil Baroni's going to give us. Anything about anything?
Starting now, or what? When do you want to start?
Starting right now.
All right. I'm living in Vegas, and for some reason, I'm not sure why. I think maybe Randleman turned him on to us. Randleman just moved to Vegas, but Coleman shows up at Layman's Gym. That's where I trained. Me, Mayhem, War Machine was there. You know, we had a good crew there back in the day, and Coleman shows up there. And he's getting ready. He's getting ready for a fight with Crow Cop in Pride. So I see. When's the fight? He's like, I got 60 workouts. Which means about 30 days. So it's about 30 days. So he shows up, 30 days out to fight Mirko Krokop. You know, meanwhile, that's when Mirko Krokop's killing everybody. Just I go for chance in the head. You know, he's just. Everybody up. He's a bad motherfucker. You probably don't want to fight that dude, especially on, which I've learned 60 workouts is in 30 days. He has about 30 days to prepare for Coleman and what he's been doing. I mean, prepare for Crow Cop. What he's been doing is sitting on his couch and not preparing, put it that way. He wasn't preparing. He's just sitting on his couch doing absolutely nothing, taking care of his kids. And, doing everything but be a fighter. Maybe doing what Nick Diaz does a little bit, shit like that. So he's definitely not in shape.
So he's smoking some weed.
Yeah, maybe. I don't want to say nothing, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But, he's fucking stressed, dude. He gets to fight, short notice, 30 days. He hasn't trained a day. And he's pale white, so he's got a lot of tanning to do. He's hairy as so he's got a lot of shaving to do. And he's out of shape, and he's getting ready to fight Mirko Krokop. So he shows up at Layman's Gym, and I'm in an attic. I'm getting ready for my last UFC fight during my first stint. So I'm in there training, and randomly doesn't show up a couple times. So I end up being this fucking trainer somehow, by default. We get along, so I ended up picking him up from the power station and driving him home every day too. So we become friends. Make a little long story short, I lose my fight in the UFC. I'm cut. I'm pissed. I'm like, damn, Brian, I need a job. This and that. He says, all right, man, come to Pride with me. Come to Pride. So I give him this is the first thing he does for me. I give him a G. You know, I give him a G for a ticket. How much does it take a Coleman? It's about $1,000. Okay, I give him a G. I get a ticket. I'm on a thing. You know, coming to think of it now, you know, he kept that G. He had like four corner men because he's f***ing Mark Coleman. He's the Pride champion. He had four corner men. So he just kept that G.
And
I got the ticket because, you know, when I think back, there's no way he f***ing, you know, called, you know, ordered me a ticket. There's no way I got on the same flight with those guys and got a ticket. So he f***ing beat me for a G. Right off the bat, so we're in fucking Japan, and let me tell you this guy's fucking out of his mind. I have a bad reputation of being crazy, short tempered before a fight, you know, stressed out. This motherfucker is stressed out. He's getting ready to fight Crow Cop on 30 days' notice. He's out of shape. He's just stressed. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Crow Cop's killing everybody, and you know he's really. He's really stressed out, so I'm hanging out with him. I'm working out with him there. We're trying to sell him shit. I'm with Wes Sims and I think his father was our other corner man. So it's me, Wes Sims, and his old man are his corner. Oh, and Hinkle.
Right.
So you know, we're just trying to like show him shit, you know. And every day is a fucking argument. Circle this way, circle that way. I mean, I can't even stress you how stressful it was every single day with this guy. He's a maniac. He's out of his mind. And you know, I'm used to being the big dog. I was a big dog at Lame's gym, and now I'm the little guy. I'm scared shit. You know what I mean?
So he has no plan. So he has no real plan to fight to fight Crow Cop. He's got
no, bro. You know, he had no idea what he was doing, dude. He was doing a little bit of wrestling with random in. Throw Wes Sims around a little bit of wrestle with Hinkle, and I'm like, you know, what are you gonna do? And he didn't even know like to stay away from the left leg. He was like circling right into it. So you know, the week there, we're trying to like, you know, I'm trying to show him a little bit of stand up, circle away from the left kick, this and that. You know, it's nuts. But the part of my story that's the craziest thing is, man, it's the day before the weigh-in show. I don't have to cut weight. So I'm sneaking out. I'm gonna go to Roppongi. I'm gonna have some fun. I'm gonna meet Anson in the way there. You know, our friends are Anson. I stayed in Japan with him a month before one time, and I'm gonna have a good time with Anson, and I'm gonna have some fun. I'm gonna get the f*** out of here because I'm gonna get the f***ing stress case. So you know, I'm in the same hallway as Coleman. All of a sudden, I'm looking. I'm like, man, Coleman's door looks like it's half open. You know, I hear like screaming. And I hear yelling and this and that, and I'm like, what the fuck's going on? So I'm trying to, like, tiptoe by, you know, and I see, like, Wes Sims, like, I don't know, he's getting pushed out of the room. What's going on there? And I notice he's, like, a razor, you know? He has a razor, and he's coming out, and then I see a little bit of, you know, he's got a razor, and he's got, you know, he's a horrified look on his face, and it's just like, what the... You know, I'm like, what is this, man? And I'm all the way down, so it's a long walk down past him. He's right by the elevator. I'm all the way at the end of the hallway. So I'm walking slow. I'm hoping that he's just going just a little bit in and out. And out. Next thing I know, when I'm like maybe 20 feet away, Wes Sims goes flying out of the room. Boom, hits the wall. He has a razor in his hand. I didn't realize he drops it. Coleman's screaming, motherfucker, you fucking cut me. I told you to be careful. Shave down, not up. So Coleman, naked, screaming in the hallway. The whatever they are, the people that clean the rooms are coming up there. They're running up there, running, seeing that he's naked, running away. Wes Sims is fucking just horrified.
Wes Sims cut Coleman's penis? Is that what happened?
He's shaving his back. Coleman's naked. He's shaving his back. You know that down by, you know, his shoulders to his ass is hairy, and he's fucking and he has the job, fucking I guess shaving his back the night before the weigh-ins. And
were you dying laughing?
You know, I was Well, I laughed when I was in Roppongi with chicks telling Anson what was going on. But you know, I was almost as scared as West Sims. I just couldn't wait to get the in the elevator and out of there, bro. You know, I was just hoping that, you know, that I was going to be the one that has to shave the rest of his back.
Oh hell no!
To kill West Sims.
Damn, that's crazy. So then Coleman ends up losing the Crow Cop in that fight.
Yeah, he ended up losing a fight, but he looked good, man. He got shaved up, and he was tan, and he looked good going in the ring, you know what I mean? That's always half the battle.
That is half the battle.
When you're in a hammer house, it's half the battle. Look good.
Well, Phil Baroni, we're going to have you on again. Thank you for this story. You are one of a kind. One of a kind,
right, man.
You're a legend,
thanks
for being part of the podcast.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me.
Take care. Hey, is this Jake Shields?
Hey, how's it going?
How's everything going, man? It's Adam Hunter. Welcome to the MMA Roasted Podcast.
Oh, cool, cool, man.
I'm a big fan, man. I've been a fan for a while.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
And we have a mutual friend, Tara, my old intern, this hot Asian girl. I think you like dated her or something.
Awesome.
I don't know what the deal
was. Man.
Are you excited or what?
Yeah, man, I'm really excited. This is a fight I'm pumped for. I mean, Maya is a guy I got a lot of respect for, but also a good matchup, so.
Yeah,
it's really hard, and I'm ready to go out there and scrap.
So, are you going to keep it like a K-1 fight? Because basically, his jiu-jitsu is so good, and yours is so good. I mean, is that?
Yeah, I would like to take it to the ground. I mean, I'm willing to stand and trade with him as well. But I mean, I would love to get this on the ground and do some grappling.
Yeah, I mean that's great. I mean, I actually one of my friends, Connor Hune, you know Connor?
Yeah, I know Connor. Yeah,
he was saying that you had the best wrestling that he's ever went against.
Yeah, we want to say wrestling, but mixing the wrestling and jiu-jitsu, I feel like I do really well out, you know? So I think it's a good matchup. I mean, Maya's got some of the best jiu-jitsu as well, so it's definitely a really cool matchup.
Right. Now, we got to talk a little bit. Now, is Nate Diaz, and I know you're still in that camp, right, with Diaz and Melendez?
Still part of the Diaz.
Now, is Nate really missing his fight because of graduation?
I highly doubt it, you know? I have a feeling he's fighting, but like I said, I mean, who knows?
Have you talked to him about that at all?
No, I actually haven't. You know, the last couple weeks I've been really busy and haven't had a chance to train with him. I trained with him quite a bit, but the last couple weeks I haven't had a chance to. So I haven't talked to him, but I mean, I was assuming he has a joke, but hey, I'm not 100% sure.
I mean, what's it like training with the Diaz brothers and Gilbert?
I love training with the Diaz brothers and Gilbert. I mean, I know the Diaz brothers have a bad rap, but they're like the nicest guys you'll ever meet, as long as, you know, like, it's everyone, too. It's not just, you know, if you're, like, in the gym or in there, I mean, they're willing to help everyone. They train really good. They're never trying to hurt anyone. They're just pretty respectful guys. So I think it's kind of funny that everyone's like, oh, they're crazy and a sad rep. And I see a completely different side of them.
Yeah, no, I always thought that that Nick Diaz was misunderstood. I think he's just not a public guy.
Yeah, I just told him, like, some interviews and stuff. I mean, he's, like, everyone that hangs out with him is always like, wow, I can't believe how, like, nice and, like, cool Nick is. People are always so surprised.
Right. Now, the word on the street is that you've slept with every Asian girl in Orange County. Is there any truth to that? Or?
I will not confirm or deny. No, definitely not every. But not true.
Now you've had an interesting career. I remember coming into Strikeforce, you were undefeated, and then you had that tough fight against CSP, which I actually picked you for that fight. I thought you were going to win that fight. It was a very, very close fight. It was a close fight. Now, what would you do differently if you had to fight GSP again?
There wasn't a lot of stand-up, you know, and I just tried to come at him and put a little more pressure on him early on. I think later rounds, I got a little more confidence and started putting more pressure, and I started doing better. I think early on, maybe I was a little bit overwhelmed by the crowd, by his mystique and all that, and just wasn't quite aggressive enough, and I let him pick the timing on me. And if you know, especially like GSP, you just got to really put pressure and try to break him.
Do you think you could beat him in the future?
Yeah, you know, it's not going to be an easy fight. No one's going to go out there and, you know, be stupid like, oh yeah, GSP is an easy fight, but definitely it's beatable.
Right. Now, have you trained with Hendricks at all?
No, I've never trained with him. He's obviously a talented guy, but I'm going to still picking GSP. I think it'll be a tough competitive fight, but I think GSP is just too seasoned and fights too smart.
Right. Now, what happened with you and Koscheck? Didn't you guys have some kind of a beef? Or?
No, I mean, it was just kind of playing around. I think I made, we've always been friends, and I think I made some comment. I think exactly what I think it's on Twitter or something, kind of joking around, knocking the AKA, but it was kind of joking. I think he put something just kind of threw something back. I forget exactly what it was, even to be honest, but it was just kind of a little public jab, but it was nothing too bad. And I haven't seen him personally since then, but I have a feeling neither one of us took it personal.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. You seem like a very well-adjusted guy.
As far as I'm concerned, I'm still friends with Koscheck. You know, I don't know his end of it, but I have a feeling Koscheck's a guy that can joke around, and he's a little misunderstood as well. I've actually got along with him really well. A lot of people don't like him, but he's actually pretty funny. He just kind of talks a lot of crap.
Is there anybody you haven't got along with in the gym?
In the gym, you kind of gotten around. I've never had any problems in the gym. I mean, there's been some new guys that are kind of new that I've gotten into with. It's kind of came with an attitude. But as far as the professionals, I've always got along with everyone.
Right. Yeah, you seem like a very well-mannered, normal guy. I see you more like a scientist than a fighter.
Yeah, I feel most of the fighters are actually pretty easy to deal with. At least for me, maybe it's just they can get along with a lot of different personalities. I've had very little problems with people I train with. You know, there's been a few guys I haven't liked in the sport, of course, because there's never been anyone I've actually trained with that I haven't liked.
No, I definitely fell for you, man. The Ellenberger fight, because I'm friends with Jake, and I know what happened with your dad, and you took that, and you fought like 7 days after that.
A couple weeks, but it was still, it was just too soon. But can't make any excuses for the fight. But it's just one of those things. Yeah, that's a fight I would love. I'd love to fight Ellenberger again. I just didn't feel like it was myself that night. So.
Well, I think if people have an excuse, it's that my father passed away. I mean, that's a pretty legitimate excuse.
I don't want to make excuses, but that's a tough thing to go through. And it was one of those things, I didn't know if I should pull out or fight. It's just, you're such a mess trying to, your dad was the closest person to me, so I was just such a mess. Didn't really know what to do. And I just almost felt like fighting would be easier than pulling out.
Right. No, I give you a lot of credit, man. A lot of credit. And I definitely fell for you. And I your last fight against Woodley, a lot of guys gave you the fans seem to like kind of get on you about that, but you're fighting a guy with ridiculous power.
Definitely. And I thought Willie's a great stand-up guy, but I did feel like I was the biggest aggressor in that fight. That's why I kind of feel like it's not fair that I was the one getting the criticism instead of him. He was walking back, throwing a couple huge punches the whole fight, and I was trying to walk forward and press it and make it a kind of fight. But I wouldn't. He wanted to stand in exchange with me, and he wanted to try to go to the ground, so it made it hard for me to push the fight.
Yeah, but also, why would you stand with a guy with that kind of power? I mean, that would be kind of ridiculous.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Were you hurt at all by that spinning back fist?
No, it landed hard, but I definitely didn't feel hurt. I mean, I'm taking some good shots. I feel like generally I can take a shot and keep coming.
Yeah, no, you got a hard head, man. You got a hard head. So anybody you want to call out after you beat Maya?
Right now, I'm just trying to get through Maya, but I would love to fight. If I could fight anyone, probably Rory McDonald. That fight puts me right back to the top.
Is anything about Rory's hit like? Does it bother you that you're kind of this earthy vegan guy, and he's a hipster? Would that be kind of a weird?
No, not really. I got nothing against Rory. I've never really talked to him, so I can't really say how he is. But yeah. I got respect for him as a fighter.
What do you think of Okami getting cut?
I think he's such a top fighter. It's just sad to see him get cut, but I guess, maybe if he didn't, think he was that popular and want to get rid of him. But yeah, I think he was definitely a good fighter. He got some losses, but he also beat some great guys.
Right. Now, are you on Team Rousey or Team Tate?
I like them both. I'm friends with them both. But, I'm so close with Rousey. She came and trained with us, and, she's close to the gym, so definitely I go for Rousey. But, talked to Tate, and I'm a friend of hers as well, so it's kind of hard picking those kind of fights.
Have you been watching it at all?
I actually haven't. I'm not sure. I think it's on kind of early. I haven't had a chance to watch it. I think by the time you get home, it's already off.
If you had to sleep with one of them, which one would you pick, Rousey or Tate?
In the fight?
No, if you had to sleep with one of them.
Oh, these questions you're throwing out. I answer, and that's kind of awkward. I'm kind of friends with them both. But hey, Rhonda.
Right. Yeah, me too. I think I'd rather have Rhonda.
Yeah. Hopefully she doesn't try choking me now.
No, I don't think she will. I mean, maybe she will in a good, fun way,
Well, yeah, I guess I could be good then.
Exactly. Well, good luck with your fight, man. Have good luck in Brazil. Thanks for coming on the podcast.
All right, cool.
All right, take care, brother.
Bye.
Hey, is this Danny Castillo?
It's him.
How's it going? Last call. How's everything?
It's great, man. How you doing? Sorry I cleared up the call. I just didn't know whose number that was. I don't answer numbers I don't know.
Oh, no worries, man. It's Adam Hunter on the MMA Roasted podcast. First of all, I gotta start things off by saying thanks for not beating me up.
Oh, that's funny, dude.
Now, I know you were upset with me.
You're a funny guy, man.
Oh, thanks. I know you were upset with me over something. What did I say that made you block me? I have no idea what I said.
I don't remember the details of it, but it was after I had a knockout loss to Michael Johnson. It was a fight I was winning, like, and then it just had happened, and you had said something. I was like, man, whenever I say... Can I cuss on this show?
A little bit, yeah. Sure, why not?
Okay, well, I just won't cuss at all. you said, I can't remember what it was, but I was like, if I ever see that guy, I'm going to slap the shit out of him when I see him. And then time went on, and some of my teammates had met you somewhere, and they said you were a super cool guy, a big fan of the team, and really cool. I was like, nah, if I see that guy, I'm going to slap him. As time went on, just time had passed, I won two fights, I wasn't sore about it anymore. I really take this, sport serious. So when I lose, I'm a little bit of a poor sport. Well, I wouldn't say a poor sport, just, everything's riding on the sport. It's my life. So it got me at the wrong time. But as time went on, man, reading some of your posts and some of your tweets, I still didn't even follow you. So you have so many followers and so many stuff that you say is really funny. So I would get it on my, that guy's cool. In fact, I was laughing and it was cool. And then you started following me. Then I followed you back and now we're here, man.
I like take it back about Michael Johnson. I try not to make fun of people after they got knocked out. I think it was something about your name being last call, it was something about last call or something. You're a hard guy to make fun of. And because it's like, I think I said one thing that, like, if Team Alpha Male was a basketball team, you'd be the center or something to that extent because you're taller than everybody else. But I do apologize. I didn't mean to really give you a hard time, especially after I got knocked out. Jesus Christ. I guess I got to be careful. And if anybody else has blocked me and wants to slap me in person, please don't. Now you've been around. You have been around for a while. You started off, you were on the wrestling team in high school because your principal saw that you were getting in trouble as a kid and threw you on the wrestling team?
Yeah, I was, my mom had to bust me out of the neighborhood I was at and send me to a private school, basically. So at this private school, kid from the hood, it was just kind of like I was, rebellious, just like, man, I don't want to be at school. I don't have any friends here, really. Actually, I had a couple of friends that went there for the same reason. So we were just kind of misfits, and I just continued to get in trouble. And one day the vice principal, who happened to be the wrestling coach, said, I'm going to call your mom. Like the fourth time he called my mom that month, I'm like, dude, please, I'll call my mom. I'll do whatever it takes for you not to call my mom. And he's like, all right, we'll show up to wrestling practice. And the rest is history, man. I went to wrestling prep practice. All the preppy, rich white kids just beat the crap out of me for, 2 hours. And, for some reason, the next day I went back to practice. And the rest is history, man. Wrestling is the same. I don't know what to say, man. Wrestling is a sport that teaches you so much about yourself. And, fortunately it got me into junior college. It got me into college. It's got me to different countries. And, right now it's got me in the UFC and, I'm 6-2 I haven't really looked back it's crazy. And to hear that they were going to try to take wrestling out of the Olympics, that was a tough blow for me too. And, so many, MMA is here, it's different. But back then when I was wrestling, your goal was to be in the Olympics. Your goal was to be a college national champion going to the Olympics. And that was basically the UFC heavyweight championship of the world. But because of the popularity of the MMA, like now wrestlers have a way to make money after college because there's no way. Even being an Olympic athlete, you don't make a ton of money wrestling in the Olympics. But now because of the MMA, it's... saves a bunch of wrestlers, having to get jobs so now they can compete. So it's really cool.
No, that's dude. I have a very similar story. I got sent to boarding school as well for troubled kids in Maine because I was very angry. My mom left when I was a kid. And I was very angry kid, and I found wrestling, and I won the prep championships 4 years in a row, and then it was just like, I'm a huge fan of the sport, and that's why I'm that's why I love the UFC. I kind of look at it as like the major leagues for wrestlers, you know.
Yeah, and you know, now that I know that that about you, then you know, I kind of. It's not that I don't respect you in the beginning, but I mean, when I first meet people who aren't wrestlers, but when I hear that about them, then it's this kind of sense of like a camaraderie that we hold together, because wrestling's like the toughest sport out there. And if you're able to be that successful in wrestling, then that means you put your heart and soul into it. And, you know, no one just goes out there and becomes a champion just because they're athletic. There's some cases. But, you know, you really have to be in love with punishing yourself and being disciplined and not eating and doing stuff that other people aren't doing and not really getting the notoriety for it. You know, and now that I know that about you, you know, I have more respect for you.
Oh, thanks, man. No, I appreciate that. As you now, your first fight in the WEC was against Donald Cerrone, which is like throwing you into the fire. I mean, you're fighting that guy. Now you lost that first fight. Now, how did you deal with that?
Well, before that, I had trained for 1 month and I took my first MMA fight. I quit a desk job that, you know, I was making, when I quit, it was 6 months into it, I was at 50K. So I was on track to make 100 grand, but I was just miserable. You know, I've been working this desk job and just wrestling, and wrestling was over. I had no competition. The only competition I had was drinking and, you know, got me into some trouble, a bunch of trouble actually. And, so I trained for, I had no money. All the money I had was just spent on booze, and I moved back home, trained for a month. In 7 months, I was 5-0, just had won. They called, Uri called me up. Uri Faber, my buddy, called me up. And it's like, dude, they want you to fight Donald Cerrone at WC. They'll give you a five-fight deal. And I was like, I don't think I'm ready for it, man. And he's like, no, I've wrestled. You'll kill him. You'll use your wrestling. You'll do all that. You'll beat him. Don't worry about it. So so I pound the pitcher. I was at the bar at the time because I'd fought like 4 days before that, prior to that. I was at the bar. I finished the pitcher. Won and ran 4 miles, cut some weight, and I fought him 4 days later, and I lost. And you know, after that, just kind of the fight made it to TV, and it was in my hometown, so it was kind of like, you know, I was kind of like had a little bit of fame just for that small period of time in such a short time.
Yeah.
You know, so I just was out partying and drinking. And
were you pissed at Faber? Were you like, dude, you fucking punked me?
No, I wasn't, because you know, you could tell when I go back and watch the fight. It's been a while since I watched the fight. You can tell that I was completely awkward in my stance. Like, I wasn't gonna throw a punch, but I did take him down. So I mean, that was a good point. Took him down, socked him a couple times, then caught me an armbar.
Right.
And and that was, for some reason, that was really hard for me because it was my first career loss, but it wasn't as hard as it was when I lost, you know, matches in college wrestling, which was really weird for some reason. It's almost like, I don't know, like fighting was just something that was second to me, you know?
Well, you've been wrestling your whole life too.
It was like Happy Gilmore, you know? He's like, I'm not a golfer, I'm a hockey player.
Right,
you know?
Right.
It was like the same thing. Like, I'm not really a fighter, I'm a wrestler. And, so what, I don't know, something about that, the loss wasn't that bad. But the whole me losing in my hometown, that kind of just really motivated me to win my next fight. And I won my next three in the WEC. And
Some of the guys you beat, I mean, you beat Ricardo Lamas, who's, you know, top three right now in the world. You fought Pettis. Now, when you fought Pettis, did you know how good he was going to be one day?
No. And in fact, back then, you know, I was really confident going to that fight. We got into it at the weigh-ins, and, you know, I was just fired up. I went in there with a bunch of emotions, and, you know, he's phenomenal. You know, he's the best in the world. He caught me with a head kick, and that was my first knockout loss. So that was another tough one for me. And right before that, I lost a fight to Shane Roller. And a fight that I was winning going in the third round, I lost by submission in the third round. So it was two back-to-back losses, and it was just like, I was going through it at that point.
not to the point where I want to quit. It's just like really depressing. I lost 2 straight fights. It was really tough for me.
But you're fighting one guy who's like a 3-time national champion wrestler, and the other guy, the other guy who kicks you in the head, but you've never been knocked out before. So you probably didn't even know that you could be knocked out.
Yeah. Because I was never knocked out in sparring or anything like that. And just for the record, I did score more takedowns in that fight against Shane Roller, and he was a D1, and I was an AIA. So just a little bit of pride for me because I had more takedowns in the fight. So the back-to-back losses, I just was kind of like, when I lose these days, it's just kind of like, it's hard for me because I'm doing everything possible. I honestly feel like I'm one of the hardest working lightweights in the world. And, you know, you can ask all my teammates, they'll probably tell you that I'm one of the hardest workers in the gym, and I come from one of the best gyms in the world. And that's kind of my downfall, overtraining and stuff like that. So being that it's going to coming up on my 22nd professional fight, I'm a lot smarter about overtraining, and my coaches still watch over, you know, things like go home. My teammates are just like, dude, you need to chill, take a couple of days off. So that's really cool. I got a good team that's just like they're just like my brother. So it's really cool.
No, you guys, by the way, Team Alpha Male, because I give you guys a hard time all the time and say that like Tito Ortiz took off his hat and you guys went for a pool party in it. Or, you know, I'll say things about like how when you guys lose, Ludwig takes you to Great Adventure and you watch him go on the roller coaster. But you guys really are good sports about it. I mean, Dillashaw and Uriah Faber and Chad Mendez and, you know, all you guys are just
Benavidez.
Yeah, Benavidez, super, always retweeting it. Thank you. Aside from you, who just came around, you were the last one to come around. But I don't feel so bad knowing your backstory. But you guys have a super good sense of humor about it. In fact, Ludwig, just so you know, sometimes DMs me to keep making jokes about you guys.
I bet that little jerk. he probably. The funniest. He loves that. He's a big joker too, and I think that's why we're doing so well, is because it's a good chemistry. You know, we're all like-minded people. We all have the same kind of sense of humor. And if you do follow us on Twitter and we go away to fight, so you'll see that, you know, we have the best time. This last fight, I was just in Utah with my buddy Justin Buckles, who was fighting for the Showdown Fights belt. We were out there in Utah, and it was just a great time. And it's like getting paid to hang out with your friends and go places where you get to do what you love. And it's really awesome. And I'm super fortunate for this whole thing that happened to me, thanks to Uriah.
You know, you guys are doing great, man. It's crazy how a Muay Thai striking coach came into a camp with a bunch of wrestlers primarily and made you guys into knockout artists. I mean, that's like a Disney movie or something. I mean, it's pretty amazing. It's really amazing, actually. And then even your young guys, Lance Palmer is undefeated. Chris Holdsworth, who's doing great on The Ultimate Fighter. Do you think he's going to win it?
Yeah, of course I think he's going to win it. He's I train with him all day. In fact, I trained with him all this morning, and he's really tough. Like people don't understand that he's been in our camp fighting the best guys in the world. Joseph Benavidez was number one at the 35s in the WC. Now Uriah Faber's number two. Joseph's number one at 25s, and he just got thrown into that. And that whole system, and he's been there here fighting back, and giving his licks, taking his licks, and he's one of the guys that the people that are going to be shocked to see him, because he's just kind of got this little childish boy look, and almost a little bit goofy, but he's a straight killer. And as you saw him fight on The Ultimate Fighter, his first two fights, he's really good.
Now is he banging Juliana?
He's what?
Is he sleeping with Juliana, the Venezuelan vixen?
I was giving him a bunch of crap saying that he was sleeping with Roxanne. What's her name?
Roxanne Modifier?
Yeah, just giving a bunch of crap. And, but he's like, nah, nothing happened. He's like, nothing happened with me. I don't know about anyone else on the show, but it was really weird. And then I was like thinking about it. When I first heard the idea, I was like, oh, man, there's going to be people having sex all over that place. It's like the real world. But then I thought about it, like, there's not that many hot girl fighters out there. I mean, there's a couple, and they're superstars because of it. But you look at the other ones, and it's like, maybe I'll just pass.
Yeah, although I think if you were there, you would have gotten some girls pregnant. I have a feeling that there'd be some baby Castillos running around.
I was actually almost on the Ultimate Fighter. I made it all the way to the last. They sent me out to Vegas to get my MRI and my medicals done, so I thought I was on the show, and they called me, and they're just like, we decided to go in a different direction.
What season was that?
Huh?
What season was that?
That was the season with, I think, Efren Escudero won it.
Oh, right. Think. Yeah. I do remember that.
No. It was George Roop was on the season.
George Roop. I think that was a couple years ago. Now, a couple more questions. Word is that you slept with some of the ring girls in the UFC. Is that true?
No.
Okay. All right. Now, Uriah Faber, supposedly Uriah Faber has slept with thousands of women. This is according to TJ Dillashaw, who, by the way, I learned is a great trainer. Last week on the podcast, I thought all I said was in the Faber Barao fight, I thought that I wish he would have had Ludwig and not Dillashaw in his corner. And Uriah got really mad at me because of that. Not really mad, but he said, I don't know what I'm talking about. So, that being said, is it true that he just slays all the women?
Well, I'm not a snitch, and I wouldn't give out my boy's information on national. I mean, that's just me. That's how I was brought up. So, I can say that he doesn't really have a hard time finding a date.
Oh, come on, that's the best you're gonna give us? I mean, this is like.
That's the best I'm gonna give you, man.
All right, and then finally, you're fighting. You've won your last five out of six. You're fighting a guy, Barboza, who's 12-1, whose only loss is to Jamie Varner. The guy's a Muay Thai champion. What are you planning on doing against him?
Yeah, he's really tough, really dangerous. It's a big fight for me, and I'm excited about it. It's at home, so that's even better. You know, I think. Being at home won't be a negative for me. I think it's going to be a positive. I'm just going to have so many emotions going into the fight that, I think I'm going to shock a lot of people. Everyone's just like, man, that's a tough fight for you. I'm just like, who's not tough in the UFC at 155? Like, just tell me. I mean, I got pick and choose, but, I've been fighting, I just need a big fight to make some headway. I'm getting up there in my career, and I can't just keep fighting the B-leaguers of the UFC. So I'm really excited about this fight. Dwayne Ludwig's got an awesome game plan for me, and I'm looking to crack the top 10 after I beat Barboza in December 14th.
Nice. Well, good luck, brother. Good luck with everything. Thanks for not slapping me in the face and take care, man.
Yeah, for sure, man. I appreciate it. And, I'd like to come on after I beat this guy. And
absolutely.
You should come out the Sac and watch. It's not too far from you, right? Aren't you down south?
I am. I'm in SoCal. Maybe I'll make the trip for that that fight. That'll be great.
Yeah, Southwest or Ring of Car, man. It's only a couple hours, 6 hours.
Yeah, I'm in. Take care, Danny.
All right, take care.
So I got Cody Bollinger on the phone. I actually met Cody through Twitter. I had a show in Irvine. There was like, I don't know, 20 people there, and Cody was with his girlfriend, and couldn't have been nicer, man. This is what, like about almost a year ago?
Yeah, man, probably a little over a year, last summer. You had a great show, man. We thought you were pretty damn funny on Twitter, so we had to come see it in person.
Oh, thanks. By the way, your wife is smoking hot, by the way.
Thank you, man. That's the one thing besides my kid in life that I'm actually proud of. I still don't know how I pulled it off, but thank you.
Yeah, no, you got a beautiful wife. And you know what's funny is that, you're 22 years old, right? But you've had 16 fights. You're 14-2. And I'm trying to do the math here. You had a fight in 2006. So you were 14 years old in your first fight?
15, man. I just turned 15, like 2 months before that.
Is that even legal?
It wasn't at the time, man, but they didn't have amateurs back then. And MMA, I mean, it was big as far as UFC, but more locally. I mean, there was no camo or amateur league. So, you know, we found our ways around it and found some promoters who kind of, you know, looked the other way and let it happen.
Now, where was this fight?
The first one was in Costa Rica. So, you know, they had, like, no regulations there for MMA. And then after that one, I had that on Sure Dog. People like King of the Cage and Gladiator Challenge were more comfortable with me fighting for them, so my next few fights were with them as well.
Yeah, I mean, and you got some record. You got 14-2. You have a win over Din Thomas, but it was overturned. Why was that overturned?
Oh, no, I actually had a loss. I lost by armbar. It was overturned because of a failed drug test on his part.
Right.
They won't tell me what it was. I have my ideas. You know, rumors go around, but shit happens, you know.
And then you have a win over Cameron Dollar, who's also a Ultimate Fighter veteran. I mean, you definitely seem to have the most experience in the house. Do you think that really helped you out on the Ultimate Fighter?
Yeah, man, without a doubt. I mean, I was the youngest person on the show, but the experience-wise, I think I had, you know, more than any of the males. There are some females like Shayna Baszler and Roxanne who definitely had some more experience than me, and Tara LaRosa. So they've been around longer. But as far as the males, man, yeah, I had the most experience without a doubt.
That fight getting in the house was probably one of the best fights I've ever seen. I was like on the edge of my seat. I was going crazy, man. That was an incredible fight.
Thank you, man. I really appreciate that. I felt like everything kind of finally came together, and I look the way I do in practice most of the time. But no, I really appreciate that, man. I'm glad my first fight, you know, on that scale and in front of the people like Dana White could be that entertaining for everybody.
Now, what was it like living in the house?
It was cool, man. I mean, it was an experience that I wouldn't trade for the world. You know, only, what, a couple hundred people have gotten to do it so far. You know, it's something that almost every fighter, you know, wants to do. If they don't get a call from the UFC, they want to get in the tough show. You know, that's kind of the new way to get in the UFC. And there were hard times, there were frustrating times, and there's some definitely shitty times. But overall, man, it was awesome. Great experience. I wouldn't have, you know, changed it for the world.
Now, a couple things. We had Juliana on last week, who said that you had you were bragging about sleeping with your wife in the bathroom before the show started or something?
Yeah, man. All right. So this is the story behind that. We, just the guys from Team Tate, I don't even know how Juliana heard this. She must have been, like, eavesdropping on the conversation because we were all in our room. It's an all-guys room. You know, doors were open, but nobody was in there. You shouldn't have been able to hear us. And we're all talking about, like, man, this is going to suck. 6 weeks, you know, no sex, nothing like that. And it got brought up, like, oh, one of the guys on my team said he hasn't had sex. And we were there. It was May to July. And he was like, man, I haven't had sex since, like, October of last year. And we were like, oh, damn, that's horrible. And so everybody's saying the last time they had sex. And I was like, well, shit, man, after I won my fight, I knew I wasn't going to see her for 6 weeks. So, you know, we went in the bathroom like any attractive married couple would, and, you know, I had a little fun before I didn't see my wife for 6 weeks.
Now, this is in the house.
No, it wasn't in the house. It was at the UFC gym before they kicked everybody out.
So you had sex in the UFC gym. Now, did people have to use the bathroom? Were people in the bathroom while you were having sex?
No, it's a one-person bathroom. Door was locked. Nobody else was in there.
Okay,
assuming that was a first.
Now, according to but then she said that you kept asking about who was hooking up and that it seemed like you were interested in hooking up with some girls or something, or it seemed like you were, I think the words she said that you were trying to get your penis sucked. It seemed that was that the case, or would you like to respond to those allegations?
No, not at all, man. I don't know how to approach this the right way. Not what she said was true. The sex story in the bathroom was true, which I have no idea how she found out. I wasn't telling it to girls or anything. everything else is complete crap. I kind of, like, I can't be mad at her. She's young. She's, what, 22, 23? She had a rough life or something, man, because her head, I mean, she's sick, man. I just feel sad for her that, I mean, you didn't even bring my name up. You know, I had to listen to this, and she didn't even bring my name up. She brought me up out of nowhere, and I'm just like, she felt, I mean, she was there too. Everybody in the house didn't get along with her. There wasn't a person in the house. I mean, if you read everybody's blog that they've been writing so far, I'll give you $100. I mean, I'm serious. I'll give you $100, Adam, if you can find somebody's blog besides Roxanne's that says something nice or positive about Juliana. I mean, it's not just me that didn't get along with her, and it kind of made me the scapegoat, calling her out about the team picks. And I think she kind of fell for that, the fact that everybody else called her out, and they only showed me, and now she's, like, defending herself by attacking me. I just, I don't know, man. I kind of feel bad, but, I mean, I just don't get why.
Anthony said that she, like, was bending over real slowly and showing her ass cheeks to everybody. And then your wife retweeted that, by the way.
Yeah, it's all true, man. Obviously, my wife isn't getting along and doesn't approve of Juliana. I mean, I don't think anybody did in the house, you know.
Didn't him and her and Chris Holdsworth have, like, a thing?
Yeah, man. I mean, I don't get why she's trying to play it off, maybe because her boyfriend's pissed off. I mean, her boyfriend tweeted me talking shit, man. They've got a weird relationship, I'm assuming.
What did her boyfriend tweet you?
Something like, she's got more heart than you, and I'm pissed off that I even had... He was one of the coaches they not brought in for the show, but to corner the people, Rick something. He was talking about how pissed off he was that he cornered me and all that crap. So it was pretty funny, man, to see... you know, who she's dating. It makes sense now that I found out who it was.
So, on the last episode, Davey and Louis fought. Now, did you think that Louis should have even been there? It seemed like Louis was kind of happy to be there, but he sort of mentally defeated before the fight even started.
Yeah, man. That was really disappointing to see. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I felt that they should have brought somebody else back that had a closer fight, you know, maybe went to a decision or had, like, you know, I don't know, man. The kid's tough. The way he came out and fought Holdsworth, I mean, he didn't give a shit who Holdsworth was. He didn't care how good his grappling was. He went there and he stuck to his game plan, tried everything he could to win that fight. That same Louis did not show up for the Davey fight. I agree, man. He was mentally defeated. No matter what he says, I think he was mentally defeated already. You nailed it on the head, dude. He was kind of just happy to be back.
Yeah, no, I'm all for a good sportsmanship, but then after a guy taps you out to then carry the guy on your shoulders around the octagon, it seemed like he had more energy doing that than he did during the fight.
Yeah, I mean, he went out there and he fought not to lose. He didn't go out there to win. He didn't go out there to punch Davey in the face. He went out there to lose a decision and not get, you know, too embarrassed. It was really disappointing to see, man, especially when they could have brought somebody else back. But and maybe it was just that one day. I mean, because his fight to get in the house, man, he fought. He did what he could.
Yeah.
I would have rather seen that guy lose and, you know, get knocked out by Davey than the guy that showed up to fight against Davey. But, yeah, I mean, he picked him up. That was like... Hey, dude, you couldn't stand up to, you know, keep the fight going, but you can pick him up and walk him around. It kind of pissed me off.
Yeah, it just sort of seemed like it was like, it wasn't like it was just like, you know, crazy war, like Stephen Bonner Griffin, where the guy typically picks the guy up. It was sort of like he just got, like, murdered and then was like, yay. I was like, yeah, I kind of felt like, all right, you know, maybe he could have tried. But who knows? I mean, the guy can kick my ass. You guys are fighters. I'm just a comedian who tells jokes and enjoys what you guys do. Speaking of which, Edmund... who seemed like he at first he was going to fight Caraway because of the whole Rousey thing, and then he tried to fight Dennis Hallman. What are your thoughts on that whole situation?
I think they're really passionate people, man. sometimes overly passionate.
Armenians or just...
Yeah, I mean, just Edmund and that whole coaching staff are really passionate about what they do and the people they coach. I mean, I think they took the contestants and kind of made them their children while they were there. They're a little overly passionate for TV. The Caraway thing, I understand, man. I mean, Ron does his pride and joy. If someone tweeted my wife that they were going to kick her teeth in, you know, I'd beat the shit out of them. You know, I wouldn't, I understand him and Caraway. Him and Hallman, I didn't really get. I saw the whole thing when I was there, and, you know, I didn't know why Edmund tried fighting him. I didn't think it was very smart. Not, you know, badmouth Edmund. The guy is striking. He coaches some of the best boxers in the world. You know, he's got great athletes under him, but fighting Hallman's a mistake, you know, no matter who you are.
Yeah. Now, did he pick that fight? Because sometimes, you know, you can't tell what really happened there.
Yeah, he started that fight. He, the minute Hallman got there, he was mad dogging him, kind of talking a little shit. He came up to him and he's like, "Oh, you think you're tough?" And Hallman was like, "Yeah, you know, I'm kind of tough. Let's go in the cage if you want to fight, you know." And Hallman didn't really play into the bullshit. He was just like, "All right, well, let's fight. If you got a problem with me, let's go fight right now in this cage." And I made Edmund look pretty bad, but
yeah,
no. I mean.
No, and a lot of people are like, you know, criticizing Ronda. You know, I'm a Ronda Rousey fan. You know, Ronda's always been very nice to me, and when I met her, she was like super sweet. I just think part of me thinks that like when you get to the point where you're that competitive, like you're a Floyd Mayweather or Ronda Rousey or some of these people that are the best in the world at what they do, they have such tunnel vision that sometimes social graces aren't exactly your thing. You know.
Yeah, exactly, man. And that's how you need to be. If you want to be an Olympic champ or a UFC champ or whatever, if you want to be the best, you got to have tunnel vision. It's got to be you're all about yourself. You know, screw everyone and anyone who has anything negative to say. That's exactly how you have to be. And like you said, I've met Ronda outside of the show too, and she's a great person. Great. You know, even on the show, she didn't disrespect the fighters once. Just Jean Tate. She didn't. None of the contestants, you know, had anything bad to say about her besides, you know, the coaches and Juliana. Everybody else, you know, got along great. Even Edmund, Manny, Andy, they were all really respectful to us. She comes off bad on TV, but she's a great person, you know, off camera.
Yeah, no, but Hallman said something yesterday that Ronda that her assistant coaches weren't getting paid. So she got in people's faces and something and said, they better get paid. Is that true? Is there any truth to any of that?
I couldn't tell you, man. I have no idea. I didn't see that.
Yeah, it seems like the people on the underground, which you know, who are very supportive and who I love, but sometimes they try to like, some of these stories get a little convoluted.
Yeah, if that's the truth, they would have had to be there to know that, you know?
Yeah. So, all right, man. So, Cody, so you're doing well. You're on The Ultimate Fighter. How has your life changed at all?
Man, it's crazy. I'm busy as hell now. You know, I used to just train and then come home for family time. And, you know, now it's, you know, talking, going here and there every day. It's really cool, man. I've been in the sport 7 years. I'm young, but I've been in it for a while, man. I'm a vet in the sport, and I feel like I'm finally getting a shot that I've deserved for a while, and I'm really happy to be here, man. It's, you know, being on a podcast like this is, you know, something that I've wanted to do for a while, you know, and it's cool to finally get...
I would have had you on whether you're on the show or not, just so you know, but...
I appreciate that, man. That means a lot. It's, I'm just really blessed, man. Really thankful for how it's going right now, so I'm stoked, man. I can't wait for you guys to see me fight again.
Yeah, I can't wait, man. Okay, actually, I cannot wait. And is your wife going to be in Playboy anytime soon, or any plans on?
She's got a photo shoot next week, man. She's starting it all out and
really?
Yeah, man. She's got one with Rev Gear. They actually doing one for her, like strictly her. So it's pretty cool, man. She's starting off and you know, finally making a big push towards her dreams too.
She's got a great shot on her Twitter. It's just her butt. In a bikini, and she's like in some weird pose, by the way, you know. By the way, who's Frankie Bollinger?
That's my dad.
That's your dad?
Yeah.
Oh, your dad's hilarious. Your dad's always like giving me a hard time on Twitter.
Yeah, man, he likes to mess with a lot of people. He's a cool guy. He's been around the sport for a while. He's one of your biggest fans too, man.
Oh, cool. I'll tell your dad, because your dad's like, put on Cody Ballinger and his hot wife and put it in quotes. And I'm like, who is this guy, Frankie Ball? And then now it all makes sense. Now it all makes sense.
Yeah, right on, man. Yeah, hey, we'll be at your show in Ontario, man. So I'll be excited to meet you.
Oh, thanks a lot. Well, keep up the great work, brother.
Thank you, man. Appreciate you having me on.
Take care, Cody.
God bless.
All right. That was Cody Ballinger, people. So far, this podcast has been an hour and 45 minutes. But so that's what we got. That's what we got today. Anything else I want to cut? I want to talk about? Basically, the direction of the podcast, by the way, is that we're going to start having we're going to have, you know, obviously the Cody Ballingers. We're going to have the people that like the Uriah Fabers. But we're also going to start bringing in guys that were that were in the UFC, some old veterans, old school guys like the John Alessios and the George Grigels, because I want to know about those guys too. If any of you guys have any feedback on the podcast, hopefully positive, please hit me up at MMA Roasted. And and finally, the last thing I want to talk about, Jones Gustafson. So John Jones is going to fight Glover Teixeira next, and I think it should be Gustafson. The first fight was very close. I think Jones edged it out. It was very, very close. Now Jones is saying that he clearly won it. I think maybe they should throw Jones a Gustafson intervention, because Apollo gave Rocky the rematch and Rocky won, and then Rocky two. And I think that was Gustafson's Rocky one. I think in the rematch it'll be a closer fight. It'll be a good fight. That's the fight everyone wants to see. Also, Sean McCorkle lost last week to Pujanowski. It was a very sad day. Pujanowski just took him down, held him there. They both kind of gassed. Keep your head up, McCorkle, and thanks for your support. So that is my podcast, MMA Roasted, or you can follow me at Adam Comedian. Go to adamhunter.com for my videos. All the texts from last fight, I got them all up on adamhunter.com. Thank you, Fox Sports, for having me on. Thank you, Danny Castillo. Thank you, Phil Baroni. Thank you, Cody Ballinger. Thank you, Jake Shields. And thank you, Tim Kennedy. I hope you guys have a great week, and take care.